Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for joining.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome.
Topic today: how many people are you engaging with on any given day today versus maybe 10 years ago or even before that? Is it more? Is it less? What's the impact on your life? So can I start?
Yes. No.
I was just thinking about, because James brought this idea up and I love it, because it's 9:30 in the morning. And my time, Eastern Standard Time. And I was just, as we were getting into this, I was thinking about how many people I've already engaged with. So how many people have I sent messages to? Like, we have a contractor, he was messaging me, my husband, my daughter, people on social media. We have people on my team already. I'm already into a conversation with the two of you. Like, the day really hasn't started and I've probably engaged 10 different conversations already. And I always say, like, I don't, words matter and how you frame things matter. So I like to say I have a very fulfilled life. I'm not busy, but there is a lot of juggling of things. And most of them are rewarding, because we've talked about in previous episodes how, I've let go of some of the relationships that don't serve me, but there's a lot of relationships that serve me. And so, how do we manage that? It's a great question. There's definitely more engagement on any given moment today than there was in the past. Things are so immediate and people are everywhere and right in your back pocket whenever you want them to.
Well, it was interesting this morning. I mean, James asked the question. He said, with social media and with all the technology that's around now, it's overwhelming with how many relationships we're in.
Yeah.
And I said, actually, I've gone the other way. I have less relationships than I did 10 years ago.
Yeah. Intentionally?
No. Well, I mean, I guess intentionally, because one of the things with social media is I was off that thing a long time ago, because I started seeing the amount of time, energy, effort it took in order to engage in that platform. And it wasn't supporting me. I mean, we were talking about habits in the previous episode, and I didn't choose to make the habit of going on social media and engaging every single day, which I did make that decision at one point, and it was overwhelming. And I just, as an example, I just stopped it in order for me to engage in other habits that are supported for me. So,
Estelle, you have email and WhatsApp, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how many people do you think you speak to on WhatsApp in, say, a week? If I was to go back a week on your phone, how many people do you think you've spoken to?
Include iMessage.
It's a good question. So it would be a lot more. Maybe I'm confusing the amount of time that I would engage as opposed to the amount of people that I would engage. And then to Mary's point, it's the people that I do engage with, right? There's always a purpose attached to it. It's not just like not meaningful conversation. Right.
Yeah. So, no. That's a given. I don't. Yeah. But
all so, the so things.
The purpose is about us being effective, right? So if I look at things and say, because everybody that I speak to now, everyone says the same thing: I'm exhausted. I don't have any time. How many people do you speak to that says, you know, I've got so much time available, I don't know what to do with my. No one says that.
Yeah.
And so we look at things and say, like, for you, Mary, you've had, you know, four conversations this morning, and still you have lots of meaningful, purposeful conversations. But how many of them are actually moving the needle? Because if you go back 20 years before, 30 years before social media, we would, to have this level of communication and dialogue with somebody, we would need to meet them in person. And for us to say, well, am I going to get in the car and drive and go meet that person, because it's going to take me 2 hours to sit down and have that conversation, it needs to be worth it. And I look at it, I probably talk with maybe 70 people a day on WhatsApp. You've got 20, 30 people on emails and different things. And I look at it and go, out of them 80 people I'm talking with on a daily basis, how many of them are actually moving the needle? Now, if I look at, without going to it in detail, I would say all of them. All of them are meaningful conversations. They're, you know, yeah, giving me energy and all that. But then if you look at it and say, do I actually need to be talking to 70, 80 people? If I look at where I want to be in 12 months from now, and it's the best year of my life, if I could only take two relationships from, let's say, work and relationships, you know, outside of work relationships and other things, what are the two people? And could they do that, just them two people alone? I'd probably say yes. You look at the 80-20 rule. Yeah, I reckon they could. And if I remove all of the other conversations, which I call them like the blanket warmers, it's just a convenience. And it's horrible to say this, and I'm sure I'm a convenience to other people. It's not just... But
there are people are just wondering which list they're on of yours.
We're my warm blanket, James.
That's fine. I don't
mind. We're like, hey, it's like James's mom's listening to the
with
podcast. Which list am I on?
And we have shared beds before, Stella, as well. But it's removing the people that are there just for convenience, because we actually feel that by sending a hey, how are you doing? And we go, oh, that's actually a list. I've got to make sure that I'm, you know, on the production line, or I'm on the treadmill and I'm running and I'm running and I'm contacting all these people. Actually, we're not doing ourselves the correct service. And I think removing 80% of the conversations and just looking at who are the key people that's going to project us forward, and not looking at it, because I do think it's stealing our results from us.
Totally. There's energy and focus. We talked about this in the last episode. And I struggle because I'm overcommitted and easily. I'm also curious and enthusiastic. I love people. I love conversation. I know that when I put my energy and focus into any given bucket, it's taking it away. There's a finite amount of time and focus. And so it's taking away from other things I should and could be doing. The tough part is when and maybe it's the older you get, because I have more groups of people in my life, you know, in my personal life, I've got, like, thanks to technology, I reconnected with my high school friends like 15 years ago. And we connect now semi-regularly, and we get together once a year physically, and they come from, you know, 35 years ago. So I have that group of people. I have friends here. I have my family, my parents, my kids, my husband, my...
And all the WhatsApp group chats that then you have to respond to, because, yeah. But...
Yeah, and there's things going on with those different groups, and there's that. And then none of that is connected directly to my professional purpose and mission, really. And so then there's that whole, you know, investment of time and energy and people that you surround yourself with to learn and grow. And then you add the layer of you need clients in your business in order for it to run. So then there's the investment in that bucket too. So it's not an easy thing to navigate. And you don't ever want people to feel like all those groups I described matter to me in different ways at different times. Like, I don't think I need to be engaged with my friends for, you know, every day. Obviously,
yeah.
Like maybe every few weeks I could weigh in on a topic or whatever. So, but it's to get rid of them would be a challenge. And then I know also that people in my life will say, "Oh, you're so busy," and then they kind of self-select out of reaching out to me because of that. And so then, I mean, the phone rings both ways too, right? So I always am like, "Well, yeah, but you could try." But there is an assumption that I've got so much going on, I wouldn't possibly have time to hang out with people or connect with people or whatever. And sometimes that's true. Like, I will, like, I'll have my, you know, think of someone and then I'll be like, I should reach out because I'd like to see how they're doing. But I actually don't have the 20 minutes to go back and forth in the how's it going, da 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 da, even though I would really like to hear. I just can't commit that time because it's taking it away from something else. So I don't have an answer. I definitely feel the challenge.
I think the answer, unfortunately, is less is more.
Right.
That's the answer. Like, we're all in this abundance mindset where we want more, we want more, we want more. If I do more, if I work harder, if I work faster, if I speak to more people, I'll achieve more. And it's not. It isn't working. We're multitasking our time with multiple platforms, multiple people, multiple relationships, multiple conversations. Yeah. And when has statistics ever been in the favor of multitasking?
Never.
Exactly.
Your time, so, you're not really present or focused if you're doing two things. ever.
So we have to find a way of removing it,
Do you
removing.
systematize it? Do you I mean, I am not the systematizer,
It
clearly.
depends on the individual. It depends on the individual. Like for me, having no phones or giving the phones to, having work phones, I think we're going to have, and I've had it before and it's been successful. I'm in a hybrid situation at the minute, but having a phone for work, a phone for clients, a phone, and you hand the phone off to people that can do it for you. So it's you removing it from your life, because
Yeah, you know what?
I can't not respond to somebody. If someone responds to me, I feel bad by just ignoring them. And so I
I've
need
done
it
that.
out of sight, because then I don't have the feeling where I'm gonna have to say hello back, because I don't want to feel like I'm ignoring you. If I give the phone to somebody else and remove these elements of communications from my life, I mean, I pray for the day, honestly, where they say WhatsApp is banned. And emails are banned, honestly. My level of productivity will go through the roof.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's that interrupted, because we have our phones with us all the time, you get interrupted, and then all of a sudden it takes you off task, and your sense of social obligation and all of that, and maybe it's client service in some cases with us. I mean, I was like in bed the other night, and we had a message from a client to two of us. And I typically, like, I have pretty good boundaries to not work late at night because I used to not sleep well. And so I would rather work through dinner until whatever and get up super early than, start work at 8 after 8 o'clock at night. Cause then I'm just like, I wake up and I feel like it's the morning and I don't sleep and all that stuff. Right. But there was a client iMessage. So it's not email. I'm not checking my email, but something comes up and I look at it. And then my colleague had started to respond. And, so then I found myself in the I had to respond, and I'm like, oh man, I'm exhausted. Like, I'm actually, and you'll say, James, if you had your phone in the kitchen and not in the bedroom, you wouldn't have seen the message and you wouldn't have known that it was going on. But because I knew about it, I had to answer. And I was like, oh man, I'm tired and I'm winding down. I'm like 30 minutes from sleep, and I allowed myself to be pulled into a conversation that didn't, it, that was not urgent. Like, we aren't saving lives in our business, like it could have happened the next day. So,
Have either of you experienced an inbox that was empty in email for
never,
James?
not since inboxes started.
Yeah, last night I cleared everything last night. All
Nope.
four emails.
I have thousands of emails in my inbox.
Like your inbox has zero in it?
Last night it did. When I woke up this morning, no, but last night it did. Yeah, I cleared everything.
So is that common? You clear your inbox?
Yeah, every few days. I mean, sometimes I can't clear it to zero, but I can clear it down to kind of three, four emails. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, Mary, imagine. So it's only happened once to me, by the way. That's why I'm asking the question. But the feeling I had when that inbox was zero was like freedom.
Yeah. Then are
Freedom.
you on a treadmill though to like clear it? Because now I have freedom, because I'm like, it'll never be empty. And I'm like, meh.
But why is it ever empty? I mean, but then that's just ongoing hassle, right? And cloggingness and to-dos and not
Welcome to
executing.
mine and Mary's world, right? Because it's for me to imagine my inbox is like totally clear right now would be a dream. And the last time that it happened, I had an unbelievable assistant that supported me in organizing everything in the back end. And then, because what I'm realizing now, again, is to really put the emphasis on getting someone to support me to get more organized. Right, because what's happening in our brains, if it's compartmentalized in different areas and never clear, you're never going to be efficient in terms of what we talked about, that's purpose driven, meaningful, and everything
Totally
else,
true. I
right?
mean, I do have my inbox sorted by must reply to, must do, whatever, and I have an assistant that helps me do that. But she joined our team when I already had thousands, and so it's like we're doing a somewhat okay job of sorting those out. And then we're on the Google Workspace platform, so it's kind of like a search engine, my email. I
Yeah,
can just go in
yeah,
and find
yeah.
something from way back when.
But your assistant has access to your email, right, Mary? So get her today to change the password to your email and don't give you the password. No, I'm being serious. Get her
Yeah.
to change the password. Sit down with her tomorrow or next week and go through the emails and clear it. And have a
Breathe,
week
Mary, breathe.
without have a week without access to the honestly. Because guess
Yeah.
what will happen? Your level of vision and productivity will go up because you're not dealing with that. The team behind will get more successful at handling and responding and
Yeah.
creative.
For
That's
anybody,
true.
that's just listening and can't see the video, I think Mary stopped breathing for
Yeah.
the
Okay, so I've been in client service
last
for
20
25 years, and so the idea that client emails will come in and I won't see them, I think it's a very good point you make though, James, because one thing I know is true and probably unfair to Sean, who's working with me, and I own being a really bad teammate on this one because I don't deal with administrative tasks very well, and I don't put my time and attention there. So I haven't enabled her success at all in this. If I were to say, I am not looking at my email at all, you are 100% in charge of email, and these are the kind of these are the rules of engagement, things I need to see, and I will look once a day at the reply to and to-do list that I have to do, then that puts way more autonomy in her world as opposed to her, she's trying to guess what I've looked at and what I haven't looked at and what I need and what I don't need. So right now we're sort of everybody's responsible and nobody's responsible. So it's a bit of a dog's breakfast. I think it's a good point. I probably a little bit far from the give her the like change the password on me and lock me out. Try it for 3 4 days. Honestly, your business will still be there. You know, we think that we are the one person that's saving the we're, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, you're not.
I'll do it
Well, you know what? I'm traveling next week for a client workshop, so that would be a good few days to test it out.
if you do it, Mary.
And
You know what I mean?
what you
James,
do?
is it the same thing as when I decided, okay, no more social media, I'm done? It's like the same, right?
Same thing. And it's the same thing that when with coach we took, you know, we say like 24 hours with switching the phone off. When you turn it, we get panic attacks because we think that we're so important that the world is going to stop. When we turn it back on, it's like, oh, no one's really messaged me. The world is still continuing. And it's the same thing, I promise you, Mary. If you do it next week and set up twice a day calls at 9 a.m. and 5 o'clock with your assistant. And then just say, look, call me, but only during these periods. I'm going to call you, keep checking my emails, respond as though it's me. Okay. And we'll have a call in the morning and call at 5 and let me know if anything's urgent. And I promise you, we'll get to Wednesday and it'll be like, huh, actually, there's nothing really to deal with. She's handling with it.
Most of my
And,
emails aren't like critical either because my teams are the one dealing with the critical stuff, like the in the moment stuff. So for me, it's just a interest distraction. It's the self-inflicted distraction.
I'm gonna
It's a
miss
blanket warmer.
the James blanket one though.
Like it's the blanket warmer.
The blanket warmer. What if James the blanket warmer sends something?
I won't send anything because I don't really look at emails either.
It
So.
does still give us like the iMessage and the WhatsApp. Those are complicating factors sometimes. But like just because somebody texts doesn't mean you have to text back.
Of course.
That's the other thing I learned. I don't respond right away. Very rarely do I respond right away. One other thing. Okay. I remember. So again, something I learned a few years ago when it was a lot of phone calls. The suggestion was to leave a message to say, please leave a message. I will only be accessing my messages at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 5 o'clock or something. I can't remember the three times. The amount of hangups after I put that message on my answering machine was like amazing, right? Because everybody wants instantaneous. And then any message that wasn't relevant or important, they would just hang up. And then it became it's like a boundary that got created. And what I'm realizing even after this conversation is there's just different boundaries that we need to be creative with to create so that it still maintains our integrity, the experience of the all the blankets that we can still come through or not.
You know,
Lots of thoughts are coming up.
on that same note, and I forget who does it, but somebody's voicemail says, I don't check the voicemail. So please send me a message. Because I actually hate checking voicemail. Half of them don't matter, and they're like bots that are like recorded whatevers.
How do you
And
even have a voicemail?
I found
You
my friend.
actually have a voicemail?
Nothing
Yeah.
in n no inbox messages and no voicemail for James.
So what,
None.
when someone calls you, James, what happens? It just rings, or you say, please call back later?
No,
Like,
I
there's
don't say
nothing
anything.
that.
I mean, if it's important, they'll call back. I mean,
But
if
but you don't have you don't
no,
have no voicemail.
there's
No
no
voicemail. Zero.
mechanism. No, never,
And so
none.
what, so
No.
does the phone keep ringing, or does it eventually stop ringing and says, oh, this is James, I'm unavailable right now, please call back later?
No, nothing. I mean, it's just not, there is no voicemail in the UAE. So it's just not even available on the phone. So
That's wild.
it's great. I mean,
There
well,
is no voicemail in the UAE. Huh.
wait,
I've
let's
got
get
one.
voicemail too.
What's that?
We'll get rid of voicemail too.
Voicemail,
Get
email.
email,
It just.
voicemail,
But hang on,
bye-bye.
who, if it's really important, who is that voicemail serving? Is it for you or is it for them?
Listen, I check my voicemail like once a month. Nobody really voicemails me,
Okay,
but then it is
good.
problematic if a client did and I didn't answer. So what I would like to do is leave a message that says, hey, thanks for calling. Send me a text and I'll get back to you when I can. I'd rather that than even the whole process of dialing into voicemail, doing the code to get in, then they're
Yeah.
like, you have three messages, and then to repeat it, press four to delete it. Like, the whole thing is way long when someone could just, like, I've actually seen that they've called me and I just call them back.
Yeah. And
Like,
you see.
I don't listen to the voice. And if you leave a voicemail, then you really should put it in writing in somewhere if it matters that much. So.
But one quick question, Mary, because you're massively into your health and it's a big important part of your life. And you know how in Japan there's that country which is they have the longest age
Yeah,
of
and it's
life.
Okinawa. They have the
Yeah,
most
because they do because
centenarians.
they don't multitask. They do one task, you know, they do one item and things like that. So imagine if somebody could say that as a result of multitasking through several social media platforms and emails and everything, by you doing that, you're going to reduce 2 years of your life. Would it change the decision that you make on do I still keep these blanket warmer emails or do I remove them?
Yes, I think it's a very good point you make. What the story in my head, my reaction right now, my response to it right now, it looks a little bit like, well, I have very good tools for managing stress, and I practice yoga and deep breathing exercises, and I eat healthy. So, like, I'm able to manage the crazy basket of stuff I do and the distractions and the multitasking. I don't think that's serving me very well. I think that's a fair point. And I do, I mean, we know all the research in happiness science says that we are unhappy when we are multitasking, that we are
Yeah.
happy when we are present. And it's true. When you go into flow state, it's like a joyful, like, to be able to focus is an indulgence these days. And I love it. I do love it. I just am my own worst enemy, because I also, like, I'm one of those people that's highly adaptable, flexible. Like, I can have 100 ideas, and I love that sort of creative process. But it also, and I like pivoting. I'm like, oh yeah, I can do this right now. There's a good dopamine rush of answering your email, and then, oh yeah, somebody called me. Let's have a conversation. Like, it's fulfilling in some way. It's a short term lift in energy that happens that I have to
The
apparently
last
fix.
podcast we had was on compounding good decisions, right? So imagine if you're going through, you're saying, oh, I've got good strategy to reduce the stress. You get stressed by looking at all of the socials and then you go and do yoga just to come back down. Imagine if you didn't have that and you
Yes,
compounded the good.
totally. You're
Yeah.
totally right. I love this. These are really good topics for me. So I
Yeah.
appreciate you
No.
guys.
It'd be good if the audience let us know what they think.
I have a call to action after this podcast now. I think I'm going to do this every podcast.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, one, I'm literally going to go to the office right now and I'm going to sit down with my strategic assistant and delegate off one of my emails. And then this way she can ask me specific questions on how to organize it on the back end. And
Yeah.
we're just going to fly with it.
Love it.
Two, I'm going to figure out how to. See, I can't shut down the voicemail because of my mom. She doesn't text and do that technology. That's
That's
the reason I
okay.
have my voicemail. So, okay, just the one. That's my call to action. Over to
All
you
right.
guys. Mary, I'm going to
I'm
put
gonna
the
meet
call
with my
back just to
assistant too.
breathe.
I'm gonna meet with my assistant and we're gonna work out my email challenge. Don't know quite what the result is gonna be. No, 3 days next week, I'm not checking my email and Sean's 100% in charge of it. And
Ooh.
we have to wrap. So James, what's yours?
Sean, you're listening to
Mine,
this.
mine's a continuous not to do list, just to
The
remove
not to do
things.
list. Okay,
Very
I
good.
love it. Good job, guys. Thanks,
Thanks, guys.
everyone. Enjoy.
Thank you. Thank
Catch you
you.
soon.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.